Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal Checking Account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal Smart Checking Account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
How did Minnesota Wild radio play-by-play voice Joe O'Donnell spring Kirill Kaprizov's hot streak a few seasons back? And which non-Wild goalie should Kirsten cheer for? We dive into those questions and take a peek at college hockey regionals all in this week's episode. As always, we're presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Talk North, Grain Belt, Royal Credit Union, Jim Beam, and Livia. This is Season 5, Episode 221. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge. At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition. Like chanting, "Let's play hockey," prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
I'm Jesse Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, face of Minnesota Wild hockey, and amongst other things, we'll get into that later. And Joe O'Donnell, the voice of Minnesota Wild hockey, now the face. We're going to add you into the face grouping now, Joe. Welcome. It's nice to see you for those of us watching on the YouTube version.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, when we can go camera on and I can get my technology in order to do this for you guys. Pleasure is all mine.
I wasn't going to chirp you, but now I am. Tell us what happened that limited your capacity. Did we?
Not
was it operator error or was it? What was that?
It was user error. I was just MF in the world about technology, new laptop, and turned out to just be my fault.
Yeah.
But I stayed with it, Jesse. That's the important thing. I stayed with it on this Monday morning, and I was able to grind through my issues and figure it out.
And he's willing to admit his mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Accountability. We got to hold ourselves accountable. You know, the Minnesota Wild holding themselves somewhat accountable for their play as of late. This whole season, Joe, has been such a roller coaster. It's kind of frustrating for us to watch night in and night out because you don't know what you're going to get. You do know that you're going to get a Minnesota Wild squad that's working hard, but all in all, what do you make of this year for the Minnesota Wild team? Injuries aside, but just performance-wise, what do you think?
Well, I think, you can't factor in the performance without talking about the injuries, but I would say, like, dark cloud lingering over the team since the preseason. And it's not that they played poorly in the preseason. If you remember, they had their usual wagon of a preseason. But when Jared Spurgeon got hurt that day in Chicago at United Center at the tail end, I think there's, what, maybe one preseason game left. It doesn't come back till middle of November. Only ends up playing 16 games. Just feels like any time this team has gotten any traction, they've had an injury or an issue. Anytime they've gained ground on the teams they're chasing during this kind of frenetic post-All-Star game push, somebody else has gone on a winning streak. Like, they just literally, they can't get the puck to bounce their way. I mean, I can't think of a season where it's been this much sort of like, I don't want to say distractions, but just like things that you feel like you can't control that have sort of upended your season. So that's been crazy. It's been frustrating, I'm sure, for the players and the coaches. Give them credit. 10 games left, 11 games left in the regular season. They're still mathematically in it. And I think they have taken accountability for some of their issues this year. Their slow start. Dean Evason getting relieved of his duties. You heard the players kind of very openly admit that they weren't good enough. So we'll see where this goes from here the rest of the way. But, you know, I do give the guys credit for battling hard right till the end here. We'll see if they can pull off a miraculous, you know, winning streak late to get in the playoffs. But it's just been one of those years. It seems like nothing wants to go their way.
And you mentioned you hit the nail on the head on a lot of different issues that they've had. One of the biggest criticisms the Wild teams received this season is that when they have eyes on them, when they're playing big games, like must-win games, most recently against the LA Kings and get blown out 6-0. What do you make of that when you see it?
That's tough because that, you know, I don't know who else you put that on, right? I mean, I guess you could say maybe the roster's not as deep as you would hope to get through those injuries. And when you're not at 100% to play with the big boys, how do you fare? But those are just excuses. At the end of the day, you go to Nashville when you're, I think it was four back of them in the standings or six back, like you were right there with a win, and you get thumped. And then I think they had the first goal in that game and gave up the next six. So then you're talking two games in St. Louis, they didn't win. The game in L.A., the effort was there, but just nothing, again, went their way, and you get beat 6-0. So, yeah, there's been big games. You know, they've beaten – I give them credit. They've taken care of the cupcakes, right? When you look post-All-Star break, there's not one game against Arizona or Anaheim or San Jose to this point that they did not win, and that's what you have to do when you're in the spot there, and you can't have a night off against the bottom feeders. However, when they've played the big boys – or teams that are currently in a playoff spot or close to a playoff spot, it hasn't always been the result they're looking for. So that's disappointing, Kirsten. John Hines addressed it after the game in Nashville, said there were too many passengers. We've had about a month go by now. They haven't won those huge games. And at the end of the day, you can look to a few hiccups along the way. They all stick out to me. Like, if you're like, give me a game in November they should have had or could have had, or give me a game in February that really – pisses you off, I can rattle them off for you because they're that close. I mean, a couple more wins along the way, any month, October, November when they struggled, when everybody was hurt, December, January, find a way to win any of those games or two of them or points in two of them. And all of a sudden, the last 10 games feel a lot more realistic for getting into the playoffs. That's the frustrating part because they are close. They're not, you know, 20 games below 500 and drafting in the top five.
You know, I've been asking John Hines for the past couple games now if must win has entered the vocabulary and when that needs to enter the vocabulary for Minnesota. Because obviously they're not dumb, right? They see the standings. They see where they're at. But do you feel like they're entering with the right mindset that, you know what, you have to win? Because basically at this point, you do have to win out. You are still 6 points back from Vegas and you're idle for the next 4 days before they finally get to play again. I mean, basically, that is the mentality they need to have. Do you think that they have that right mindset? I mean, hopefully they get Joel Eriksson Ek back. Hopefully Jonas Brodin is good to go as well by then. So that will certainly help. But how do you feel that they're approaching the final push here at the end of the regular season?
Well, I think you're fair to ask the question and keep asking it, Jesse. Yeah,
thank you.
And I think that internally the players know, the coaches know, right? They've set little goals for themselves. You know, this many games, we got to get this many points. But the second you say to the guys, we have to win tonight. If you don't, then what? Then what do you tell them the next 10 games? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to kind of keep that carrot out there dangling that there's still more hockey to be played. I think he showed it's must-win mode when he pulled the goalie in overtime against Nashville at home just a couple weeks back, right? If that doesn't tell you it's must-win mode, I don't know what does. But the second a coach says to the media, we have to win tonight, or the second the coach says to the players, we have to win tonight, and they don't for whatever reason, bad call, you know, whatever, terrible goaltending, whatever it is, something out of your control, then I feel like you have no cards left to play. So I think they're approaching it as must win. They understand with 11 games left, they probably have to win 9, maybe more like 10, or as some people have posted on Twitter that cover the team, if you go 11-0, you have a chance to beat Vegas. You start looking at that, it gets very daunting.
Let's take a minute to talk about that upcoming stretch too and remaining games this season. Two games against Vegas. They're playing Seattle. How do you think that they're going to fare in this final push?
Well, the two games against Vegas are obviously must wins. The game against LA, you know, the final road game of the year. We'll see if that one is still mathematically important for either or both teams. That's a must win. You got to beat San Jose when they come to town. You play San Jose there. I mean, again, at this point, they're all must wins.
He said it. He said it. There it is.
To make Jesse happy, which we always try to do, right?
Appreciate.
But you know, the Vegas games, Kirsten, they're just ginormous. But by the time you play Vegas on Saturday coming up, Vegas is already going to play a couple more games. They're going to make up some of those games in hand. You could be 8-10 points back. And then honestly, do those games matter as much for Vegas? Probably not, right? They're sitting pretty at that point, unless St. Louis is right on their heels. So I think the Golden Knights and Blues play tonight, if I'm not mistaken. No overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need a regulation game. And I guess at this point you want St. Louis to win because you have Vegas twice. I don't know. Or maybe you want Vegas to win because you control your own destiny against them. So, but look, end of the day, I said earlier, the Wild have put themselves in the spot. You can make up all the excuses you want. They just weren't consistent enough this year to put themselves in a better spot here as we near April.
I mean, that's the frustrating part. They're controlling their destiny as best they can. I give them all the credit in the world to the way that they are giving this final push at the end, making it exciting, keeping people engaged in the squad. But you need other teams to falter, and right now they're not. I mean, they're going to be playing their best hockey. You had mentioned, excuse me, goaltending, which I feel like is time for me to punch down that door. What do you make of Filip Gustavsson's season thus far? Obviously, he gets the contract extension this year. He had a great year last year, but coming in, I think at least from our perspective, the expectation was Filip Gustavsson is your starting goaltender. He's going to get the lion's share of games, and Marc-Andre Fleury would be a backup. And it hasn't really played out that way, not only because of the injury to Gus early on in the year, but Marc-Andre Fleury has performed better, especially as of late. If I'm John Hines heading into this final stretch, you give Fleury all the big games, and Gus, you know, you toss him a cupcake or two here like San Jose. But I think Fleury, to me, is the number one. How are you breaking down the goaltending situation?
See, I'm actually going to disagree with you, and here's why. I'm going off the eye test right now, and the last couple of times Gus has been in net, he's looked like Filip Gustavsson we saw last year. So to take your question, it was very broad, and I like where we're going here. But if I'm going to look at it like the 10,000-foot view or whatever, Filip Gustavsson has not had a good enough season. I expected some regression, like 2.10 goals against average, Vezina Trophy nominee essentially last year, top five save percentage. I knew that there had to be somewhere in between the Ottawa Filip Gustavsson and Filip Gustavsson from last year. It's been closer, though, to not good enough Filip Gustavsson for the Wild. Save percentage under 90%. Like, you just can't have that if you're going to win games. Now, the NHL, again, I'm going to be long-winded here, so my apologies. NHL save percentage is down. One of the lowest marks in decades. Most of the teams, I think the median or the mean, whatever that is, I'm not a math guy. whatever the middle is, yeah. That's like, I think it's like, gosh, 905 maybe. Now it's going to drive me crazy because I looked at it the other day. My point is, it's save percentages are down across the NHL. But Filip Gustavsson is way down from last year. If you had said this to me 2 weeks ago, Jesse, maybe even 10 days ago, I would have agreed wholeheartedly. It's Fleury every night till his legs fall off. The last couple of times out, though, Gus in Colorado, Gus, albeit in Anaheim, and Gus in relief of Fleury in L.A. has looked, as I like to say, and the late, great Stuart Scott used to say, as cool as the other side of the pillow. Okay, when you have calm, poised Filip Gustavsson, he gives you the best chance to win. I give Flower a ton of credit. He's played better than I thought he would this year. This recent stretch he had, he was the better goalie. He deserved all those starts. The passion he plays with. I feel like the team really rallied around him for like a 3-4 week span. He's a big reason they had that 8-game point streak. I don't think he should retire. And maybe if he had asked me 4 months ago, I might have felt differently. But I think he has game left. I hope he sticks around in Minnesota and gives it another year. But right now, I would play Filip Gustavsson Thursday against San Jose. I'd play him against Saturday against Vegas, and I would ride him until he loses. At this point in the year, I'm at the mindset where if you win, then that's yours because you have no other choice but to stay with that mantra. I don't think there's many back-to-backs left, maybe one or two. But at this point, I would go Gus and see what you have. I mean, Fleury's had the last couple cracks at it, L.A. and St. Louis, and they didn't win either game. Not blaming him, but the reality is right now, whoever wins, I'd give the net to.
What do you think of all that, Jesse?
I was going to say, I'm formulating my thoughts appropriately. No, I think it's Marc-Andre Fleury's net. I think he's proven more to me. You're right. I think the recent two outings and sure and relief, I admittedly went to bed in that LA game. I didn't watch the rest of that. It was a travesty. I was like, I don't even care. I was getting too angry and too heated for 11 o'clock at night. I was just done with it, yeah, right?
Understandable.
You know, so I didn't see a whole lot of him in net there. But I don't have the trust in Filip Gustavsson that I do in Marc-Andre Fleury. You know what I mean? I think putting him in, you're right. I think unless he goes in, but the problem with riding him as quote unquote a hot-handed, if they win against San Jose, I don't think it should be Gustavsson being the reason they win, right? They should beat San Jose pretty handily on their own. So I don't know that I would come back to Gus then on Saturday, given the context of that win on Thursday. I think right now Marc-Andre Fleury is playing well, and there's more of a confidence. I think that's the struggle I have too. Filip Gustavsson, as you mentioned, last year, the reason he was so successful, he was so chill. And this year, you're seeing a very different mental side of him. Even when he speaks to us post-game, you know, he's kind of got a different attitude. He's taking these losses a little bit differently than he did last year, which I think is obviously affecting his play. But I would say Marc-Andre Fleury, I adore him. First of all, let's get that out of the way, right? He's behind John Gibson. He's my goalie. He's my guy. I love John Gibson too. Bring him.
Wait, why John
Gibson? You know what? There's a number of reasons. I'll admit he's a good looking gentleman that I enjoy looking. He's got this sultriness to him. And I just want to
guess I should have guessed.
There's a reason.
I made sure to send her some snaps from Anaheim of him in net.
Yes. Because he hasn't played against Minnesota yet. It's just very sad. I love him. I want to save him from Anaheim because I think he's also a very good goaltender. He's an American goalie, which I also particularly adore. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking Marc-Andre Fleury.
Hang on one second. Yes. By the way, Kirsten, I see post game. We're like on the bus to LA and I see snaps of you at your first Wild road game.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the heads up.
Well,
I was at Honda Center.
I tweeted about this.
I was at Honda Center.
I know you were. You interviewed my girl, Alexis. I saw that on the Wild Instagram. Oh,
yeah, she's awesome. Alexis Downey.
She's great. I love Alexis.
But like, really? Like, no, hey, we're in the building. Little heads up.
Well, I thought
you
knew.
To the press box. I don't know what you could have done.
Would you have put her on air?
I just thought everyone knew because I didn't stop talking about it.
Sure, we could have had you on air.
See?
Tom Reed would have loved to have had you. I mean, I'm speaking for him, of course, but
of course,
whatever. You know, I was a little rattled.
This won't be my last road trip. I'm going to say that. I will find another one to go on, mainly because I need another vacation.
You're running out of time.
We're running.
Well, not this year, but next year.
Okay.
Idea, can you save us two seats on the charter for the next
road?
Sure. I mean, this past trip, actually, with no national. Do you have to pick a trip where national or where Bally's doesn't travel because the national TV games, it opens up quite a few seats.
Yeah.
You guys can just
slide
right
in.
Up.
We'll just let people know.
Kevin Gorg's got a nice tan. He used his break to go to Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
He's got some color now.
Gorg sat by a pool.
Yeah,
he did.
Let's hope he
relaxed and
enjoyed himself.
Well, we'll find out Thursday. He'll come in hot. He always does. Always does. That's one of the best things, I got to say. But I noticed you derailed my conversation about Marc-Andre Fleury is going to start the rest of the games. That's all we're saying. That's all I'm saying.
I look at the eye test. Your point about, hey, you should beat San Jose with me in net, you in net.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. But I would just use the eye test from the San Jose game. If Gus plays Thursday and looks like Gus, calm, cool, collected, not a lot of big rebounds, and you win 4-1, 3-2. I'd start him again.
Right. Because I will admit this, and Kirsten can attest to this. The beginning of the year, I held back my criticisms on the goaltending struggle, but the entire team struggled. And I looked at the defense as the bigger part of the problem. I think defense was really faltering for a long stretch there. So I reserved a lot of my criticisms for goalies until probably January. And then I was like, I am so done with this. This is just frustrating because I expected more. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, do you reevaluate the contract that you signed Gustavsson to this offseason and kind of take a look, especially because, as you'd mentioned, I don't think Marc-Andre Fleury's done. Watching him, not only just in his capabilities, but mentally, he is not ready to say, I am done playing hockey. And I do think he likes it here. Obviously, he's got a relationship with Bill Guerin, and he would be a hell of a mentor for Jesper Velsted. So I'm just thinking out loud. I've said it numerous times. What are your takes, Joe, on offseason Filip Gustavsson?
Well, I think it's something that has to be considered. Knowing Bill Guerin, he doesn't sit pat anytime, so I'd be shocked if he isn't considering, you know, all options, whether it be you come back Fleury and Gus for one more year and give Volstead an extra year in the American League, which doesn't hurt a thing. Possibly moving Filip Gustavsson in the offseason if somebody wants to give you something of value. But I would think, you know, if it was me, I would want a draft pick and a player, possibly, because, look, the Wild need bodies, hopefully on the cheap. But I don't know. I think right now, again, I haven't done enough homework on Philip or on Jesper Wallstedt down in Iowa. When I've talked to folks down there, I've gotten the, like, yeah, he's been great. You know, for the most part, he's been great. Gives a very average team due to depth issues, right? They don't have a great lineup in large part because Minnesota's taken all their players, right? Like, let's make sure that's very much out there. I feel bad for Brett McLean. He hasn't got much of a fair shot in year one because the lineup they penciled in for Iowa from September hasn't taken the ice one time all season. Like, legit, the lineup board, I've talked to Coach Mack about this. Like, their board, their perfect scenario for opening night, they literally haven't had it one time. So you got to remember that when you're looking at the Iowa player stats and the record and those things. Like, it's just, it's been a tough year for them. So I think it's hard to evaluate Jesper Wallstedt based on that. But every time I've been like, how's he doing? I've gotten like a thumbs up kind of report. So he's doing well. He's playing well. He's keeping that team afloat a lot of games. I don't know if that means he's NHL ready. There's some talk, will we see him maybe the last couple of Minnesota Wild games if they're mathematically out of it? That would make some sense, right? Let's see if that Dallas stinker where the kid was thrown to the Wolves in his NHL debut, you know, was just a blip on the radar. Give him a little bit of confidence at this level. Let him see what it's like. You know, a few more days around the team at this level can't hurt. And I think from that standpoint, it'll help him understand when he goes into the summer, all right, maybe I need to improve this area of my game, or I need to work on this, having seen NHL shots, you know, for more than just three periods in Dallas.
Jesper has the cool, calm collectiveness that Gus had last year. That's what I've gotten from him, right? Like, I think that's what also gives me confidence that he'll be just fine. Like, even after that absolute trouncing, I mean, which wasn't his fault. It was a shitty situation, but I also get it too, right? But I do. I think
you want. I can give you the. Sorry to cut you off. I can give you the scouting report on Jesper Wallstedt if you want. Yes, I am sorry. Let me see if I can find this for you. Okay, this was going into his NHL debut. I'm just going to read you a couple snippets from Richard Bachman, the Iowa Wild goalie coach. Yeah. Right, I texted him. I'll just give you some of the keywords: mature, great feel for his game, starts with his calm and controlled demeanor, internal competitive drive. I mean, this is a lengthy text message here. Nice. Like, Richard Bachman loves this kid.
Yeah.
Right? So, they focused on his pace of movements, like, things are working on. Like, this kid is legit. Mm-hmm. And when I see things like internal drive and calm demeanor, he's only 21. Like, there's no need to rush him.
Right.
And that's funny for me to say because I think 2 years ago, I was like, let's get this kid up here, you know?
Silly.
Get him to North America. Get him up here. But if you look, there are plenty of, NHL goalies that have spent a lot of time in the American Hockey League. I had NHL Stats send me a list of goalies with, like, at least 100 AHL games played in their career and at least, like, 100 NHL wins, I think it was, because I wanted to see, like, who are some guys that really marinated down there before coming up. And there are quite a few goals. Like, you say Saros was in Milwaukee. It felt like forever because Pekka Rinne was, you know, log jamming Nashville's goal crease. I remember talking to Dean Evason about Saros countless times in the minors. He's like, this guy's an NHL goalie. There's just no room for him because Rinne plays 65 games a year. So I don't think there's anything wrong with Wallstedt sticking it out down there another season if Fleury's interested in returning and you just run it back with Gus and Fleury.
I'll give you some credit. You wanted Wallstedt pulled up when it was Kaapo Kähkönen and Cam Talbot as a tandem, I imagine, which I would understand.
No, because I love Kaapo. Okay. I love Kaapo. All right. Mm-hmm. He's got a soft spot. You talk about loving John Gibson. Yeah. Kaapo's my guy. We go way back.
I feel left out now. I feel like I need to find a goalie that I love.
Do. Let's think of one.
Okay.
So basically,
we'll work on this. Yeah. Seems
anyone
easy
in
enough.
The league is in the running to be my favorite, I guess.
Or it could be American League.
I can't pick who you guys already have picked as yours. Like, I have to be different.
Lucas Dostal. Dostal?
Lukasz Dostal.
Alexis has spoken very highly of him.
He is the sweetest kid I've ever met.
We can't have both of you guys loving Ducks goalies, though.
This is also very true. But he's good.
Sounds like a conundrum.
I can't even say it. I was going to say Saros would maybe be mine, but I hate Dallas. Oh, okay. I can't because of my hatred for Dallas.
You know how much I hate the Dallas Stars?
Let's hear it.
I want to know.
We could do an entire podcast.
Let's do that.
No, let's dive into this a little bit.
We talk about
it
as a staff, though, like, and it's like a little bit of like, you get like the scaries, like Enterprise Center in St. Louis and that the Stars building down there in Dallas. Like, you go in there as a visiting team, and when you lose in a playoff series to somebody, I'm assuming this is where it stems from. I mean, I just hate Dallas in general, but like from a hockey standpoint, I'm like rattled in those buildings. Like you've been scarred, right?
Yeah.
Like
this
you
is
go
coming
to Dallas
from an Eagles fan. You're just these fans get you.
It's not the fans.
Okay.
It's just that the Wild have lost playoff series to the Blues and the Stars back to back years since I've been with the team, and it's like scarring. It's jarring to go to those buildings now. Like you know the goal song, the horn.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like they have the upper hand in the rivalry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just get rattled going to those buildings.
I feel too, like, with those fan bases, there's two groups of people. There are the fans and there are the locals. And the locals talk the most crap.
Well, Dallas, we know, talks a lot of trash. Their social media team leads that charge.
That was
like
aggressive.
They're cutthroat. Did you see somebody show me what they did
Arizona.
After they beat the Coyotes the other night?
Yeah, they did roadkill.
Yeah, the picture of roadkill. Like, part of me is just like, I hope the SPCA just hammers on them.
They stuck by him, but I'm like, what was the end game here? Like, this wasn't going to go over well. They doubled down.
And it was a fox. It wasn't even a coyote.
At some point, the tide will turn, Dallas.
I know. Well, remember, Kirsten,
and I'm here for it.
Kirsten and I did a man on the street thing with Wild fans last year. I can't remember if it was game one or game three, something like that. But, like, one fan was like, in their arena, it's sticky and it smells and we're like, where did that come from? I feel like they were just trying to find things to hate other than Ryan Suter about the Dallas Stars arena.
Dallas, they'll be good for a long time, I think. You know, the next few years, you don't see them changing, right, between Ottinger, Robertson, whatever, Haskinen. But at some point, that tide will turn. And I hope the rest of the NHL remembers just how cutthroat the Dallas Stars have been lately. On social media.
Maybe that'll be my next road trip. Also, I'm willing to create a burner account to do some mad chirps too. Maybe
like
specifically
that.
To the Dallas Stars.
I think you'd fit in down there with the cowboy boots and the cowboy hat for a game.
I think too. I'll bring them out, but in a Wild jersey.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where you go from there, though. There's not really another close. You couldn't like piggyback to another city very easily.
Ooh, that's a good point too.
You could do the AHL tour though and go see a game in Cedar Park, Texas.
And ECHL, isn't there like some ECHL squads right?
Oh, there's like 1,000 Central League teams down there, I think.
Yeah.
See, back in the good old days, we had Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Oklahoma City.
The Rampage.
And you could do the old, you know, bounce around.
Yeah.
3 games in 3 days. No big deal.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Pretty terrible.
8-hour bus ride to Oklahoma City?
No. No, thank you.
Not fun.
I did that from Ames for college hockey.
I just derailed the whole question and segment again. I'm good at this, huh?
Yeah.
It's taking you guys off your train
of
thought.
No, but that's what we like. We don't really usually like to get too serious sometimes, you know?
No.
Sometimes it's kind of fun. I can't do serious. So.
Yeah.
No, we can't. And there's too much of that. You know what? You want to get in the weeds, you can go listen to Russo, whatever you want to do. We're just here to have some fun, talk some hockey. And we know.
Ooh, wait, Zoe, this brings up a question I need to ask. I need your take. He was like, are you going to ask me? Who on the team do you think is the best at making spaghetti?
Well, it better be Lettieri or Lucchini. Lucchini sounds like a
Lucchini
type of
said
pasta.
No.
I have inside information.
Yep.
Via Paul Fletcher, who sent a text.
Hold on. Let me.
And Lucchini confirmed that, I think.
I don't know. Who is it?
Allegedly, I thought it was Matt Zuccarello. Apparently, he's second best. He's up there. Marcus Foligno, allegedly. Apparently, he's also Italian. I had no idea.
Natalia's Italian. His wife is, so I feel like she's the chef.
He makes his own pasta?
Apparently.
Wow, that's impressive.
Coming from the words via text to Paul Fletcher himself, Marcus Foligno says he's the best.
So you know what I'm doing on Thursday morning? You can help me,
honestly,
Joe?
Honestly, I think that could be a little bit of Moose just being Moose, which is like an alpha male. Love the guy to death. But it could be him like, obviously I'm the best. You know,
he
I could see that
flaw.
From Moose.
Spaghetti has to be his flaw.
I don't know, man. Moose seems like a pretty button-up dude, but I feel like, you know, I feel like he's the type of guy that would never admit that he's second place in anything.
True. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he's probably, regardless of the correct answer, Moose is like, I'm the guy.
I would agree with that.
I know he threw Zuccarello's name in the ring. He did.
And that I could see.
Okay. So, but he's probably being honest about that.
Right.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's giving you a real answer, but then he's also like, at the end of the day, it's me.
Yeah. This food conversation opens up a great transition for me. Are you ready, Joe? What did you do to Kirill Kaprizov once upon a time that actually sprung him into some hot takes, and it has to do with food? Please share with our audience if you don't mind.
I do mind. I should have never told this story in the first place.
First you told it in confidence, but then you went on Wild on 7th and told everybody, so now it's here to share.
Speaking of Dallas, we were in Dallas. It was pregame meal, like breakfast before you go to morning skate, and they have like an egg station, right? You place your order, you wait a few minutes, you go grab it from the guy. They're great. I almost always go like scrambled, whatever. I don't do an omelet. I just like a couple eggs, scrambled cheese, whatever. So I order my scrambled eggs. I wait a few minutes. I go back, and the guy, as I'm walking up, hands me a plate. Okay. Let me get my hands up here. Hands me a plate, and they're like, you know, over medium or over easy or whatever, but I'm not gonna, they're eggs. So I take them, I go back, and I set them down on the plate, and then I think I go to like get ketchup, which I've been told is gross, but whatever.
It's awful.
Like, I'm gonna get these eggs ready to be destroyed. And as I'm like walking back, I don't know, to or from the ketchup area or whatever, Kaprizov's like, essentially, like, did you take my eggs? Like, are those my eggs? Are those your eggs? I forget how he phrased it. I blacked out. And I was like, oh, God. And then I think he was like, what, you know, he's trying to be like, what did you order? Again, not that he didn't say that, but it was a blur. And
are you just sweating profusely? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I realize, obviously, when the guy handed me the wrong eggs, I should have known they were somebody else's, not just taking them and said, I'll eat them, their eggs. So Kaprizov had no eggs.
How dare you?
And now the bus is coming in like 10 minutes, right? And this is the second bus. First bus is already gone. Like, I'm a late breakfast eater if I go eat breakfast. And I think he tends to be. There's a couple guys, you get their regiments. Like, you know, they're second bus guys, first bus guys. They eat early, they eat late. Like, Flurry's always one of the last ones on the bus. Like, that's just his thing. So Kaprizov needs to go order new eggs now. And I'm like praying that this omelet guy, I wanted to go up to him and be like, buddy, I'll give you $20. You make these eggs as fast as you've ever made them. You know, like, it was such a, I was so rattled. Anyway, I don't know that he necessarily scored that night or the Wild won, but I bet if you go look at that span of hockey, he went on a tear offensively, like, I don't know, points in 7 of 8, 6-game point streak. Like, he lit it up afterwards. And I was like, all right, at least like the last minute eggs didn't rattle him to the point into where he couldn't play a hockey game. But in the exchange, I legit was like, oh, sorry, Bubba. I thought they were mine, or like, I forget. Even, like I was as flustered as you could get. And again, like, his English was still very, this is his second season, I think. Yeah. So it'd have been like at least 2 years ago. But it was post COVID. We were traveling. First year I'm traveling with the team. And like, you know, 6 weeks into the season or whatever, I take the $9 million player's eggs sort of on accident. Stop laughing at me, Jesse. So I was so rattled.
Imagine the same eggs. Like, I don't, no, we don't. I didn't, it's not even what I ordered. No. I don't even like these. I'm going to put ketchup on it and ruin it anyway. I'm sorry.
I know.
Imagine if Kirill didn't get to eat that day because Joe ate his
I can't imagine that.
Just gets hurt.
I'd be out of a job.
He doesn't have enough protein in his body.
I would have quit. I would have quit before they could have gassed me.
Oh my gosh.
I would have done the same. That's the only option at that point. Also, speaking of Kirill, I realized yesterday, because I was talking to some people about it, he's been exhibiting just a bunch of green flags lately. Like, we already knew he loved babies because he's Uncle Kirill with Zuki, but also he loves dogs. Like, apparently when on National Puppy Day, they did the whole walk-in with Hattie. Apparently, Kirill asked, he's like, in his little accent, he's like, who's this? And they're like, Hattie. And then he gives Hattie the water bottle, his water bottle, to put in her mouth. And he goes, come on, Hattie. And it's like walking. And I was like, that is the cutest thing. But apparently he loves dogs. Who would have thought?
Well, I know he likes walking. Like, he walks around wherever he walks at his apartment area. Because I did an interview with him. First ever radio interview with him. It was 10 minutes.
Humble brag. Yeah,
and
you
he
were
was awesome.
Can I share experience when he came out of that room? Because that was a game day. And he was just, It was the most elated I have ever seen Joe. It was endearing. I was so happy for you.
I just kept talking because he was cool with it.
Did you bring up the eggs?
And of course not. I'm so scared. This is the first time he's ever done a radio interview. And I don't even think he knew it was a radio interview. Mm-hmm. I think PR was just like, Joe wants to talk to you. And he was probably like, who's Joe, until he got in the room. And then
the egg stealer.
I mean, not that. Like, I just assume he doesn't know me. Yeah. Like, he knows me. If he sees me at the grocery store, I'm sure he'd be like, I recognize that guy. But
dude,
like, he
that
probably
stole his eggs.
For the organization, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Well, he probably knows me as that guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not a knock on him. That's just like, he goes about his business. I try and stay out of his way. We interact when needed. But he's definitely warming up and becoming more of like a conversational guy that if you see him in passing, you can get more than just like that sheepish, hi, how you doing? Like, mm-hmm. I think he's way more comfortable now. I think it's great. But when I was doing that interview with him, I asked him how he spent his off day, because I happened to have an off day. I figured it'd just be like an icebreaker rather than like, what's up with the power play? And he just said he just like walked around, he took a nap, he went and had dinner, but he like literally went down the itinerary of his day. And he said he enjoys walking around when the weather's nice. Cause I was like, oh yeah, it's been nice weather. And he thought maybe it was the Mississippi River. I didn't know what to tell him, but yeah, maybe if you're in the Mississippi River area of the Twin Cities, you see Kaprizov strolling around from time to time. And I'm sure he says hello to random dogs and probably like, you know, he's just happy out there, I'd imagine.
Oh, just living.
Right? I just see him like buzzing around, like having a walk, like 3 in the afternoon. Like today's a day off. I bet you he's out there walking right now.
It's probably not.
We need
a day
to give
to
this man
that.
His own dog, so he has a buddy to go walk around with.
Yeah, but then what's he doing on the road then?
He can hire a puppy sitter. He's got some.
It sounds
some money.
Like a lot.
Or they could. I could imagine. You know, if he wanted to bring his dog on the bus, no one would have any
or
complaints.
Imagine Kirsten would take on the. The ability to babysit for to be a dog sitter.
Can you imagine my title would change to Kirsten Kroll, Kirill Kaprizov's dog handler?
Yeah, part time.
Didn't
Dane, dog handler.
Honestly, my dream.
Our mutual friend Dane Muzitani did that for who was it? Nick Bukestad? No, it couldn't have been Bugie. Somebody, Kyle Rau, maybe.
Dumba?
Maybe Rauza. No, it was a gopher, former gopher. It was Kyle Rau. They're about the same age. Sounds good. I like that. No, I do love Kirill is like. Much easier to speak with now. He intimidates the hell out of me. I don't know what it is. I think it's because I tried to ask him about Alex Ovechkin one time, and I was just shut down. It was me and Kevin Gorg, the two nicest people in that room, and we were just completely blasted for it. And everybody's watching us do it like, they're going to do it. They're going to go talk to him. And it was the worst experience of my life. And so then I had to talk to him about Murat, who's Nadinov, and I was terrified, and I was like, I'm just going to go do it. But he was very friendly and bantering, and it was it's so fun to see. Because it is. I think he's got a great personality.
Yeah, and he's never been cold-shouldered. Yeah. Like, even when you kind of got shut down, it was probably just like...
Yeah, because you were in the peanut gallery
part
watching.
Part language barrier, mm-hmm. part... Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he was as comfortable as he is now with the language, with just being a face of the team. I think he understands that role now. It's important for him to be at the forefront, to answer the tough questions sometimes. He seems to be doing a good job with it. And I think in the future, next couple of years, you're just going to see a rise in the the FaceTime of Kaprizov. And I think it's great for the whole team. It's great for the league, too. Like, mm-hmm. Let's get the stars out there. His English is getting way better, and I think he understands that it's part of the gig, and not that he ever shied away from it. I just think his comfort level has really increased now.
Well, I think I loved how excited he was for Murat too, because as he recalled my memory, he's like, well, remember my debut, it was COVID. So we didn't have fans. And he's like, I'm so excited that he gets to do this in front of fans. Cause he's like, it makes a difference. It's a great place to play because of that. So he does appreciate that facet. The other thing about Kaprizov, Joe, question for you then, is John Hines going to break him if he continues to double shift him game after game? I have a love-hate relationship with it, right? We saw this on Saturday against the St. Louis Blues. Again, a situation where it's must win. But you're seeing Kirill Kaprizov out there shift after shift. And I mean, he's a guy that has shown he can do it. But is that the right move? What's your take on Hinesy's approach there?
I love it. I mean, you talked about must win. If you have to win, who else do you want out there? The Wild haven't gotten enough secondary scoring, especially as the years moved along. That's not breaking news. 97's the guy. So as long as you keep tapping him on the shoulder and he keeps jumping over those boards, I'd play the you-know-what out of him. I honestly would.
You can curse if you want. We don't encourage it, but you may.
Well, you know, I'm very...
I encourage it. Fred does not.
This is true.
Wait, does Fred have to bleep them out?
Yeah, yes. He does. He doesn't have to, but he chooses to.
Then maybe I should have given him a good one, then. Yeah. Like a very elongated curse word so that he has to...
Just a tirade.
You know?
Make sure he's paying attention. That's all we're doing.
Yeah, that, you know, like the, just a snap show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm throwing sticks over the boards type of thing, just a bunch mm-hmm. of F-bombs.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because then Fred will be like, the first time he sees me in person or the next time you guys want to have me on, he'll shut me down. I don't want to make his life more difficult.
I don't know. Joe's assuming we're going to have him on again after we find out he stole Kaprizov's eggs. Wow.
Touché. That's bold. I don't want to be too assuming here.
Bold.
Yeah, I just keep playing him, Jesse. Why wouldn't you? What do you have to lose?
I mean, yeah, I agree. I don't hate it. I thought it was great. And he was playing well, like certainly. What's your take on where Murat Kuznetsov is at in his career? Do you think he's getting enough time? Because then when you are double shifting him, you're missing out on playing some of that third, fourth line squads, right? Who, again, haven't been great as of late, but they're still going to be integral moving down the stretch here.
Let me ask you a question. On Thursday, when you play the Sharks and Eriksson Ek returns, do you sit Kuznetsov?
No.
Ooh.
You sit Adam Beckman?
I sit Adam Beckman. I think. Okay. I mean, just based on, and unfortunately, it's not seniority is not the right term, right? But it's also Murat's your guy. You're expecting him to have this large role heading into next year, right? Like those are the expectations for him. Adam Beckman doesn't have that. So I would say, actually, no. You want to know who I would sit, and I'm going to be frank and honest with this. I'm sitting Marcus Johansson.
Okay.
No?
Not gonna comment or argue with that right now.
Okay, that's fair. But you would rather...
Yeah, I don't know who you would... Yeah. I don't know who you sit. I guess I would just, you know, I would need to talk to the coaches to say how good has player A been, player B been. Then you make your decision, mm-hmm. right? Like, who's the guy that hasn't held up his end of the bargain the last couple games? You put Eriksson Ek back in, you take that player out. I'm just posing that question because I find it an interesting one because, to your point, he's a second-round pick. I don't know if he's analytically been great or not great. I don't know what... You know, I know I've talked to John Hines about his game, but not over the last 72 hours about how he's played. So it's you don't want to hurt his confidence, obviously. But if he's not giving you enough, and we're talking about hockey games you have to win, mm-hmm. then I guess you have to sit him. So I don't know what the answer is when Eriksson Ek comes back in. I just posed it to you because I think it's interesting. He's probably in consideration, right? We all saw his ice time was limited the other day against the Blues. They were sitting him and double shifting Kaprizov. And if that's the case, you know, then maybe he's a guy that just needs a night in the press box to watch.
Yep.
It's not the worst thing in the world. I could see both sides of the coin. Not my decision to make, but I just think it's an interesting one. But to answer your question, I think he's going to be a great player. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think I kind of see him. I know we haven't seen a lot of offense, right? Just a couple shots on goal, the one assist. But I see... Like those instincts, I see the tenaciousness on pucks, the ability to win faceoffs, which this team desperately needs. You know, we hear he can kill penalties. He has only gotten, I think, one look maybe on a PK so far. You know, he's got some power play experience. He's played a little bit of power play two-time for the Wild. So I like what I see. I really do. I think this offseason will be huge for him. He'll feel way more comfortable coming into next year. And I think if he slots as your third-line center the next handful of years – I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Again, if there's offensive upside there, great. If not, you got a kid that can skate, that thinks the game, that's defensively responsible, with some skill to go along with it. Through a handful of games, I have really liked what I've seen. It'll be interesting to see what the analytics say and what the coaches say as the next, you know, dozen games or whatever wind down.
And I'm not opposed to having him sit because I think Adam Beckman has that chemistry with Sean Lucchini, right? It's the Iowa line. It's guys that have played together before down in Iowa that are comfortable with each other, and they look good. We're going to have to get Jake Lucchini on each week, he said, because he scores after he comes on with us. So we really love that for him. It's the Buttes bump. Hey, guys. Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you. What's up? We're back. Shout out to Joe for joining us as always. I would have a panic. I would find a car and drive it off a cliff if I stole Kirill Kaprizov's eggs or any of the players' eggs. I don't care who it is. I would have a meltdown.
I can't imagine. I'd be mortified.
Yeah.
I get mortified just thinking I'm in their way if I'm ever like standing like or downstairs by the locker rooms pregame. So let alone like stealing somebody's food. I literally would. I don't know.
Classic. I'm with him on though. I pretend that none of them know who I am. Like I'll introduce myself for the past 7 years. Like, hi, I'm Jesse with NHL.com. They're like, we know. Like you're here all the freaking time. Like we get it. Like you're here. So anyway.
I'm just a little fly on the wall.
Yeah. I'm excited to join on the next road trip though. Sounds like you guys have plans to have a whole lot of fun and I think I should be a part of that. So
I had a great time in Anaheim.
Yeah. I mean, why not? San Jose? We could go. We don't want to go to San Jose.
Okay, maybe not going to San Jose.
Okay, that's fine. Whatever. We'll make it work. We're going to wrap up this week's episode real quick. First, let's finish off with the Minnesota Wild. Again, they start a 5-game homestand starting Thursday against the San Jose Sharks, and they host the Vegas Knights Saturday, Ottawa Tuesday, Colorado Thursday, Winnipeg Saturday. Tons of hockey going on. Let's preview and take our picks, Kirsten, for the next 3 games, which is the Sharks on Thursday, Vegas Saturday, Ottawa Tuesday. What you got?
2-3, and I say that begrudgingly. I'm not.
You're saying 2-3 for the whole thing?
Yes.
But I think 3 games. Okay, that's fine.
Well, I'm saying the next five games. You're talking about a 5-game homestand, and you're like, what that's is true. Your prediction?
Well, so I'm like, recording going again next week. But 2-3. Okay.
Well, I know, but yeah, the way it was worded was unclear.
Face is unclear. Yeah, that's. That's my go-to still, like I'm a child. 2-3 begrudgingly. Who do you think they beat?
Ottawa and San Jose.
That's it.
With okay. Brodin out, not knowing for sure when Ek is definitely going to be back in the lineup. Their struggles, I'm not convinced.
Are they going to be close losses to Vegas, Colorado, Winnipeg, or is it going to be kind of
I routes? Don't think Vegas and Colorado are going to be close.
Okay. Routes. Okay. I like it. I'm going to go with 3-1-1 because I'm insane and I'm an optimist. So they're going to beat San Jose, Ottawa, and Winnipeg, and they're going to lose to Vegas and get a point out of Colorado.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just the vibes that I'm feeling. You know what? Why not? They need to beat Winnipeg once. I need them to beat Winnipeg this year at least once. Why not make it that Saturday? Which that Saturday, for journalists, I will be a panelist on the Sports Midwest Journalism Conference next Saturday. So I will be rolling in hot off of that panel into the Winnipeg game.
I'm really
game
happy
Saturday.
You know the name of the conference you're speaking at.
Literally, I know. I don't even know what I'm. What am I doing? I think it's mostly broadcast people, which I'm not really a broadcast person, but here we are. It should be fun. Go check that out. Speaking of fun, college hockey tourney time. It's here. Regionals kickoff on Thursday. Your Minnesota Gophers facing Omaha in Sioux Falls. Omaha, the home team for that regional game. Minnesota, Kirsten, only team from the state of hockey to make the NCAA tournament. First time in 6 years. Minnesota State and St. Cloud had their run come to an end. They had made the tourney from 2018 through 2023. UMD, second year in a row that they have missed. They had been consecutive years, 2015 to 2022, and Bemidji State last made it in 21. St. Thomas yet to break that threshold, but they're still newbies on the D1 scene. How are you feeling about this year's tournament? BC gets the number one seed, BU number two, Denver three, and Michigan State four. In general, what do you think of the rankings and teams that made the cut?
Very happy for Omaha. I'm going to say that they were a team that kind of surprised me that they snuck their way into the tournament, because from my understanding, they needed to win the NCHC championship game, which, by the way, they made it to the Frozen Faceoff for the very first time ever in program history, made their way into the championship game against a really, really, really good Denver team, and they put up a fight. So I would not count Omaha out. They are a good team, and that program is on the rise. But otherwise, too, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm interested to see after the season North Dakota's had, how they're going to fare in the tournament. They're without their best goaltender, Ludvig Pearson. So they have a freshman goaltender now. They did not look great in the Frozen Faceoff semifinal game the other night. So overall, those are just two of the biggest points that I have heading into the tournament. But always love postseason college hockey.
Denver beat Omaha in the finals in the NCHC, and I know you were working that this weekend amongst everything else you had going on. How did Denver look? Do they earn that three seed, do you think?
Absolutely. They're a good team. Yeah. They're going to be hard to beat.
Tough to beat. How do you think the Gophers are going to do? Because I know that's who we're cheering for, even though you mentioned Omaha is good and don't count them out, but go Gophers.
No.
Okay, well, that's just rude. Bitter. It's a bitter Husky right there. I'm excited. Admittedly, I haven't seen a heck of a whole lot of these squads. I'm surprised. Am I wrong? Wasn't Michigan off to another really good, strong year? Or am I just confusing it with last year?
They were solid last year. They're not the same team this year, but I believe, I hope I don't say his name, they have Big Ten Player of the Year. I forget who exactly it was. I want to say it was like Rutger McRorty, but don't come for me if that's not right.
I only know that name from Team USA gold medal winning World Juniors, but it might be. You're right. Mm-hmm. Could be. There's no more Hughes left, right? Is there another Hughes down there?
No.
Okay, they're all done.
No more Hughes.
No more Hughes in Michigan. And then obviously Macklin Celebrini, the big name with BC. BU also having another fantastic season. So it should be a good tournament. I know there are people that are much more educated in college hockey than us. We will try to get them on as we start to round out the regions. I'm probably only going to talk about it if Minnesota advances, because then I give up. If they lose to Omaha, then I'm whatever. It's fine. It'll be a sad day for me, right?
Sure.
Come sit on the sidelines. I'm only invested. We all cheer for the Minnesota team, especially if it's in St. Paul. I need the Gophers to make the Frozen Four in St. Paul, right? It just, no. There's that. Yeah. What? Wow. Really?
No.
Just a little bit?
Really? No. I do not cheer for Gopher hockey. I don't.
Would you rather North Dakota makes it?
They're not going to make it. I'm not even worried.
Wow. Darts thrown. I'm excited. We'll find out. This is going to be fun. We're going to keep this rolling. This will be good. We'll do more college hockey next week as the regionals play out and we get into some semis and quarters. And of course, the Frozen Four happening here in April in a couple weeks. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, rate, subscribe, like, love, share as you will. We appreciate every single one of you. You guys have absolutely been crushing it on our downloads and views. Couldn't be more grateful. I'm glad that you guys are engaging and enjoying our content, because we certainly love putting it together with you, especially now when it's crazy time, crazy season. It's a small little outlet of joy, at least for me. So as always, I'm Jesse Pierce. She's Kirsten Kroll. You can catch us at Minnesota Wild Home Games. Shout out producer Fred for putting this together. Don't screw it up, Fred. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. And yeah, until next week, thank you to our partners, SodaStick, Grain Belt, Jim Beam, Livia, Royal Credit Union, and of course, Talk North. We'll catch you next week. Bye. Near, 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 near.